What?
Yes.
Say that again.
Yes.
Say that again.
Yes.
He says, what?
Yes.
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Where's that fact? Right? Let me get the exact quote.
That's the exact quote.
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Okay, that's the quote. Remember the first word. That's important when we get to our understanding. Jesus, Peter doesn't say no. That's not trivial. We'll see why in a minute. So Jesus says to what? Okay. So Jesus says, what's the verb? Feed. Is it lambs or sheep?
Lambs.
Okay. So then, says to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then he says what?
Tend
or shepherd my sheep. Okay?
Why do you need your feet or ours?
We'll get that in a second. That's interesting. Why does he call him Simon and not Peter? Okay, good point. Okay. Now, a third time he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter is, what's the verb? Grieved, disappointed, because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, what? Feed my sheep. Now, we're going to get to the whole question of the difference in the verbs, you know, agapao and phileo, or if you want the nouns, agape and philos, in a second. But I want you to notice that these are in parallel. Is there a whole lot of difference between feed my sheep, tend my sheep, shepherd my sheep? Is there a whole lot of difference between those? No, is there a whole lot of difference between lambs and sheep? Lamb is a young sheep, right? Okay, but is there a whole lot of difference? No. In other words, Jesus is saying the same thing with different words. Do we ever do that when we write or when we talk, or do we always use the same phrase throughout paragraph after paragraph after paragraph? No, we put some variety in there, don't we? It reads better. Because your English teacher told us to have a little variety in there because it reads better, huh? Yeah, Kathy?
What stands out about the number three is that Peter denied him.
Exactly. Thank you very much. That's where we're going. How many times did Peter deny him? Three times. And how many times did Jesus say, take care of my sheep? Three times. Some people think that's intentional. The whole point of this restoration of Peter is that it's pointing back to the calling of Peter. And it's pointing back to the denial of Peter, and it's pointing to the future. Because what is Jesus going to say about Peter in a minute? We'll get there. Okay?
But the ordering, the reason that he said, feed my sheep, was to reflect that he was indeed the first pope.
He's the first pope.
He was supposed to feed his sheep. Who are you
calling the troublemaker the first pope?
You guys getting together before class?
Troublemaker.
No, Peter was not the first pope. But Peter was a what? What does he call himself in 1 Peter 5? Your fellow elder. Okay? We're going to see how that's important. Okay? Because I think all of this is reflected upon by Peter in 1 Peter 5. Peter as the apostle, the mature apostle, looking back on his life and giving instructions to the elders of the church. Do you remember the verb he tells them? Shepherd the flock of God, among whom God has placed you as overseers. And he says, ultimately, be like, in that same set of sentences, the great shepherd. See, the term is Jesus, of course, the great shepherd. Notice the language he's using, shepherding language. Okay, we'll get to that. Okay, now we're going to get to Yeah, we have time. We're going to get to the whole question of the differences in the words for love. Right? Because a lot of people, I mean, you've heard lots of sermons about this, and we're going to jump right into that. Keep this in mind. Okay? So Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? Right? So we have agape. So the first one is, then agape is the noun, agapao is the verb. Okay? So do you love me?
And that's the first one?
Yeah. Yes. And that's what the first one is agape in Jesus' mouth. And in Peter's mouth, it's, you know that I love you, is phileo or philos. Philos is the noun, but it's the verb here. You know, I love you is a verb. Okay. So we have, and a lot of people, you've heard sermons where it's agape and Peter responds with the phileo. And then Jesus says agape. And Peter responds with phileo, and then finally Jesus says phileo, and Peter says phileo, and you've heard lots of sermons about how Jesus begins with agape and ultimately lowers it down to phileo, right? Because Peter always replies with phileo. You've heard that, right? I want to say that I don't think that's proper. I want to say that what we saw with the three uses of tending my sheep, that is variety within the conversation, is that that's exactly what's going on here. And that's what I want to present to you now. Part of your homework was to look at some passages. And those passages are in your study sheet. Okay. So let's look at those. Compare John's use of the terms for love. You have agapao and phileo. Again, the verbs. 3:35. What's John 3:35? Well, let's go look and see. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Okay? What's 5:20? For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he has done. Do those sound like almost identical quotes?
Yes.
But one's got agapao, or agape, and one's got phileo. Interesting. Let's go to 11:5. What is John? What's chapter 11? You should know, right, from your memorization. Chapter 11 is Lazarus. Okay, chapter 11, verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. 11:3, a couple of verses before. Therefore, the sister said to him, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Phileo. Okay, and we go down to verse 36, okay, which says, now Jesus wept. Jesus, the Jews said, see how he loved him. Phileo. Why does John change the words? I submit to you, variety. 21:7. 21:7 is what? The disciple whom Jesus loved, that's agapao, and compare that back to chapter 20, verse 2. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, phileo. I hope you're seeing that John is using the words interchangeably. That's what I want you to see. Okay? One more. One of the big arguments used in this is they want to say that agape love is God's wonderful, overflowing, magnanimous, non-conditional love. Have you ever heard that kind of language? Well, this is conditional love. This is you're my friend. If you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. That kind of condition. You all know what a conditional statement is. If, then. Okay? Let's look at these as sort of like a conditional statements in this last one. 14. Chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he is with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Compare that to 16:27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. My point is they're both in conditional ideas. Exact parallels? No. But I want you to see the conditional idea there. Now, my first point is, John seems to use the words interchangeably. So all of the great sermons, I think, are wrong. Further, it was interesting. Some of the reading that I did, you know how this is the wonderful, great, non-conditional love, and this is sort of the lower friendship? They say, no, the real meaning is the opposite. That this agape is the kind of conditional, not so nice love, you know, just kind of friendliness, and that this is the great love. Isn't that interesting? But the real point is not that. The real point is, what do they do to each other? They cancel each other out. And maybe there's another answer that we have here. Now let's go back to then to this point. When Mr. Pleviak quoted Peter's answer, do you remember what was Mr. Peter's first word?
Yes.
Now, so put this in there, and let's assume this answer here, that these are different. Jesus says, do you agape me, Peter? And Peter says, yes, I philo you. No. Peter should have said, do you agape me, Peter? No, I don't agape you, I philo you. But Peter doesn't say no. He says yes. In other words, Peter is looking at them as synonymous when he uses the word yes in his answer. Finally, well, two more points. I'm sorry, there's two more. Number three, what is it that really aggravated Peter throughout this conversation at the end? Lord, what do you mean do I agape you when I philo you? What do you mean? Well, there's all of this changing of these words going all around. Is that what bothers Peter? What does the text say? You did it the three times. That's what bothered Peter. Was that Jesus had to say it three times. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon Peter, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. See, it was the fact that Jesus did it three times that bothered Peter, not the fact that he changed words. And finally, and this is not minor, what language did they have their conversation in? Aramaic, not in Greek. As far as I know, Hebrew and Aramaic don't have these distinctions between the words. They do have, once in a while, a little bit different words for love, if you go and look at them. But they are not great, I'll get to you in a second, great large distinctions. I want to say that in John, the distinctions really aren't there. Another thought, too, is that whenever the word love is used as a compound word, do you all know what a compound word is where you make two together? It's always the philo word. Let me give you an example. What are older women, according to Paul, to teach younger women to do? To love their husbands. The word is philoandro. It's a combination of the two. Philos and andro, which is the word for male or husband. Okay, the two brought together. There's a combination. They're all brought. It's always, whenever it's a compound word, it's always this one. So my point here is that I want to disagree with those sermons that have made a big point here is. And I think they're missing the whole point of the passage. The whole point of the passage is, Peter, you are my apostle. You are the one that I have called you to be. You are to take the gospel out to the world. And how does Peter reflect back on this years later? See, what was the job Peter was to do? What was the term? Feed, intend, and feed again. Was that right? My lambs and my sheep. In other words, be a what? A shepherd to my people. Do you remember Jesus says in John 10 that I am the good shepherd? You remember when we saw that? That Jesus is claiming to fulfill Ezekiel 34. There were the wicked shepherds there, the unfaithful shepherds. And Jesus says, because if you look at Ezekiel 34, the Lord says, I will come and I will shepherd my sheep. And there he is. Jesus is saying, I'm the one. And now Peter is going out shepherding the sheep. In the proper sense, the vicar of Christ, as Paul was the vicar of Christ, and all of us are the vicar of Christ, shepherding the sheep. And that's why Peter uses the language of 1 Peter 5 when he says to the elders of the church, the elders who are among you, I exhort, not as the first pope, not as the father of the church, but as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Okay. When was Peter a partaker of the glory that will be revealed? The transfiguration. Okay. Shepherd the flock of God. There's the imperative. Shepherd the flock of God. That's what Jesus told him to do, and Peter's now passing the message on. Shepherd the flock of God, okay, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will not fade away. I think Peter, there in that passage, is reflecting back on this passage. The Lord has told me to shepherd the flock, and I'm telling you now. I'm passing that on. Just like Paul says, you know, what I've given to you, Timothy, you give to other men who are able to entrust to others. Peter is doing that very thing. Peter is saying, shepherd the flock that God has given to you. And I think that's what's going on here. That's the point of the passage. Now, Troy, you had a question?
If there are no distinctions in the language in Aramaic, how do you think they got there?
None. I think John was just using variety in writing. You teach writing, right? Don't people use synonyms with words? And sometimes they use antonyms and put a negative particle in front of it? You know, a not?
It seems like there would be some kind of meaning if you're not there.
No, I think people use words when they're writing all the time. No, I do in my writing at work. Maybe, you know, I'm a really poor writer, and that's possible. You know, but I use synonyms all the time just because it's boring to read the same word all the time in my writing. Okay, and I think that happened all the time. Words, I mean, one of the big arguments against my position is that if words do not have any distinctions and meanings, that gradually one of the words will just disappear from usage and won't be around anymore. Okay, the more popular one will be the one and the other one will disappear. And I don't agree with that at all. I don't think that's how language has developed. I think we use a lot of synonyms because we use variety in our language because it's more pleasant to hear. So.
Demolished years and years of sermons there, you know that.
Good. My goal is for us to understand God's word better. Sometimes we have some things that are cascade along with it. Yeah. Did you want to follow up more on that?
I guess just another thought. If agape always has a strong, tends to have a stronger meaning, phileo has either or.
Mm-hmm.
It could actually shed a different view on that passage where Peter is using one that would answer his question, but still able to retain the doubt in his own.
Yeah, and that's what people want to say, and those are the sermons that Daphne has heard, you know. And I think that's missing the whole point of the passage. That's not John's point. John's point is not that Peter loves Jesus less than he's supposed to, and finally Jesus lowers it. I think rather Jesus is restoring Peter to the position that he set. You know, Peter, you denied me 3 times. I've told you 3 times to feed my sheep. Yes, you are the one. I've called you as an apostle to take care of my sheep. I think that's what's going on here. Yes.
I feel like you're arguing about Peter being grieved about Jesus saying the third time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty defensive, and I guess I'm curious what word for love is quoted in Peter's thought. Like, it says he was grieved in verse 17. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" So is that?
And that statement is flow.
So, it just seems like that statement sort of summarizes, like, all of them mean the same thing. He's saying,
That's a good point. Peter's thinking summarizes the whole thing with the word phileo. I think that's what you're saying, right? I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good point. That all of this summarizes, right? And that's what you're saying. Yeah, I think you're right.
But I just, Second question. Is there any buildup in lambs, sheep, like tending sheep and feeding sheep? Because it kind of reminds me of First John. He's talking about little children, young men, and older men.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I just thought it might be a stretch. I was just curious.
Is there a progression from let's see, lamb to sheep?
Sending sheep to feeding.
To sheep, right here. I don't think so, but there might be. I think that's pretty synonymous. I mean, when you tend sheep, what are you doing? You're feeding them and protecting them, giving them water. Psalm 23 with physical sheep, right? You know, those kinds of things. But when you feed sheep, you know, make the D clearer. When you feed sheep, you still do all those other things too, right? You're still protecting them. You're making sure, you know, like David, making sure that with the bear and the lion, you have your dogs there to help protect, all those kinds of things. Yeah. Tending, you might want to say, is a broader term. Might even include medical care. Well, this might be a little more narrowly focused, perhaps.
Tending means like sharing them, like that.
Mm-hmm. Those other kinds of caring beyond food, you know. We are summarizing them, and I think properly, with and making a verb with the word to shepherd them, right? Which is the verb that Peter uses in 1 Peter 5, which is really a broad term, the whole activity of the shepherd. Other questions? Well, we didn't finish. We're almost done. Okay? So, no, not another 10 weeks. Notice the last statement. No, I haven't given you the next handout yet, have I? No, there's another one. No, if I give you this one, you won't have it in 2 weeks. Okay? Here's your homework. Y'all have page...
Try to figure out what's on that piece of paper.
That's right. Y'all have all your sheets, right?
Yep.
Go back to page 1. Okay, and 2 and 3, where we talked about the prologue. Okay, and you can also just read the prologue again, and then ask yourself, how does John develop the thoughts that are in the prologue in this whole gospel? Right, that's what we're using to summarize it. So we're going back to the prologue and saying, let's do a quick summary. So that will be in 2 weeks, because next week we have a special treat. Right? Okay, good. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that we have the great shepherd who shepherded us and even died for us as sheep. And we need to be faithful shepherds too. Lord, we thank you that Peter was restored. More of your grace to Peter. You're just pouring grace on him. You pour grace on us. It's just a rainstorm of grace that you give to us. And we thank you for it. We sure don't deserve it. We pray, Lord, that you would protect us. We go out this week. We work, do the jobs, whatever it is that you call us to do, that, Lord, you would be glorified by us. We thank you that we are your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.